With God's help, I desire that we return together to the book of Psalms and read Psalm 102.
Nađeno je 102. psalam, da se pročita nama svima za nauku.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten the ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. And thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. The Lord bless the reading of his word. We all bow before the Lord in prayer. Loved ones, the psalm that we've read together, even in the scripture, records that the Psalm of David, when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, but it has two main sections. One where David is expressing all of the things about his life, his circumstance, his pain, his anguish, and pouring it out before the Lord. And then the last half, where he reflects on God, his character, his glory, his mercy, most of all. There is so much to learn when we read the words that have been penned for us to be edified. One of the things that we can perhaps grab a hold of is a very practical lesson in prayer. David was overwhelmed, and he brought his overwhelmed heart and anxiety and pressures and whatever he was experiencing, whatever the feelings were, and he poured them out before the Lord. He laid them bare. He let him know in whatever way he could exactly how he felt and where he was. And throughout the course of this psalm, the attention and the focus changes. And it's necessary in our prayers when we are overwhelmed. We dare not leave all of our complaints and our sorrows and stop there, but allow the Lord to begin speaking. I know I find this to be true in my life as I would experience a season of disappointment or stress, and I come to realization that I must fall upon my knees in prayer to God. And not really knowing what to do or where to go or how to handle the situation at hand, simply find myself just pouring out exactly what I am, I'm feeling, or explaining and admitting I don't understand and I don't know what to do about this. And thank God, I so often find, as I'm sure you also do, when you take that time to push through and to persist, that the Lord brings, and it's just a simple truth about himself, or one of his gentle commands that so easily cuts through the confusion of our flesh and the way that we've piled up excuses, and resolves and simplifies and brings us peace. I hope that we can all know the Lord in that way and turn to him in that way to find help when we are overwhelmed. David is not alone in this experience. He's not alone when he says, "My days are consumed like smoke, like a vapor. They're here, and then they're gone." Has there been anyone that you've ever talked to that doesn't say time is just flying? The summer is over. The school year has started. The stresses start building. And we don't have enough time. Days are consumed like smoke. They just vanish. My bones are burned as an hearth. That inner part is burning. Are we not pressured with many responsibilities, many things vying for our attention, and things that need to get done that add stress and compound worry? And when that tension builds up, our heart rate goes up, and we feel that heat in our inner being. We know that this life is a life that is moving fast and is pushing every single kind of stress that it can down our throats, make us focus on ourselves. Because my heart is smitten and withered like grass, withering under the pressure, so that I forget to eat my bread. He's not taking care of himself in his daily food. Or perhaps he's so busy he doesn't get enough sleep. You definitely relate to that. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. And then he begins describing himself as a bird, these three birds, the pelican of the wilderness, which is an odd-looking bird, looking down because of the weight of its beak. But not only odd-looking, and it can be stressful to look odd in this world, but the pelican was an unclean animal in the Old Testament. It was an outcast. And to be an outcast, that can cause our bones to burn. That can cause us grief. I'm like an owl of the desert. Owls are often symbolized as in places where there was desolation. When the cities and the countryside was emptied of people, the owls came in. He sees his life as desolate and empty. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Beautiful to see sparrows. Usually they're together with a few others. When they're alone, something is wrong. When we are singled out, and we feel as though the eyes are watching us, a time of pressure, a time when their bones might burn. What is it that you connect with in David's very beautiful illustrations of his experience? Do you not find some common ground? The enemies that he had were against him and sworn enemies. They were committed to his destruction. He said, I have eaten ashes like bread. There's very little that we eat as commonly as bread. That common staple of so many of our meals. He's feeling like ashes had become so familiar. Destruction, decay, emptiness. Become so familiar, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. He sees God's hand in what he is going through, and perhaps is crying out in fear that he had been cast away. And that God perhaps had turned against him in casting him down. But he describes exactly where he feels he is and lets the Lord know it all. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. The word teaches us that the beauty in the favor of man. He's like the grass that withers and fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And in this parade of speaking of himself, in describing his inmost thoughts, he's reminded of some truths. As we need to be when we are overwhelmed and we feel that we cannot handle the pressure or the responsibility or the challenges that are before us. How many of us, we know David's life was filled with many pressures, much more intense perhaps than our own. Even though we can relate in some ways, we have things very good and comfortable. And we compare that with David. But then, as even the brother had mentioned in the prayer, not to lose sight of the one who suffered so much more for us, Jesus Christ. Can we compare what we go through to what he suffered for us? Would we despair of the love and attention of God because of what happens to this flesh, and forget the love and care of God through Jesus Christ? Don't do that. Don't leave it at the statement, I'm withered as grass. Speak the words. Share the feelings. Let them out and express them, because they're real where you are. But don't end there, because there's a greater reality. There's a greater truth, and that is the character and nature of God. And those simple reminders, they bring us through. They help us when we're overwhelmed. They're the foundation of our life and our faith. Not our responses to how bad we think it is. So, what does David remember? He says, "But thou, O Lord." He begins to shift the focus from me and my circumstance to the Lord. Just like the world used to think that the earth was in the center of the universe, and they had to come up with all kinds of theories and ideas to explain the things that they saw. They realized the sun is in the center of the solar system. Then the things that they saw began to make sense, and they can see that they're part of a bigger plan. So too, when we see the Lord as everything and us as just a part in his plan, we see things much more clearly. And we can take comfort that God is in control. But the focus has to come off of ourselves. It has to go to the Lord. The first thing he mentions is that the Lord shall endure forever, thy remembrance to all generations. More than any nation, prince, power, or enemy, God will outlast them all. And so he is reliable. He is the most reliable source of truth, the most reliable person that you can ever relate to, because he's eternal. He says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." The Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful. And the mercy that David understands of the Lord is one that can be experienced in the here and now, but is also one that helps him look forward. He says, there is a time of favor for Zion. There is a time appointed, a set time, and it has come. Isn't that some truth that we understand today? That God is working out a plan of mercy for his people, that he will come to pass. And this could be the day. This could be the day when his plan begins unfolding in increased speed that will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ to bring judgment upon this world and then to dwell forever with the Lord, for him to be in our presence, to receive the end of our faith and the hope, that which we hope for. Has that gone through your mind over the past few weeks of hearing what's going on in the world? The unrest, the anger, the ideas that are such nonsense, but are so quickly and wholeheartedly accepted, that are so destructive to families, to cultures. Have we prayed, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus"? Have we been looking forward for the mercy of God to be revealed and to be continued and come to its fulfillment in the plan of God being played out? David looked to the mercy of God with, and that gave him hope, that there's a time that's coming, and God will extend that. And it has come. This is an encouragement to believers to hasten the day of the Lord, to look forward to his soon return. And he says, "For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor in the dust thereof." The servants of God rejoice and love the things that make up God's kingdom. New Testament speaks of the church being built up of lively stones, which is each and every one of us who are in Christ. Do we take pleasure? Do we love, enjoy that which makes God's house? How about to favor the dust thereof? Is the dust of Jerusalem better than the dust in Jericho or in Nazareth? I don't know. To David, it was something special. Even though it was something insignificant to maybe many, the things of God are dear, are beloved, even the insignificant things, insignificant to the world, like a cup of cold water. Like turning to the Lord in prayer. Like faith that is only in Jesus Christ. Like love for God's commands and the giver of those commands. Like hope in a hopeless world, but hope in God. Like a simple life. Like modesty. Like having tongues that do not speak guile. Honesty. The dust that makes up man of God. God took the dust and he made a man. And he is making men into the image of Christ. Through things that seem insignificant to the world, but are necessary. If we despise those things, then we don't get the blessing of the next verse. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When God's people value and love one another and God's commands, there is a drawing effect. There is a genuine example that radiates and shows that God is living in us. Without that, David experienced what effect that had when he sinned with Bathsheba and he killed Uriah. The prophet came to him and told him, because of your deeds, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. When God's people are not the light that they are called to be, but hide their light under a bushel, we do not draw anyone. But when we love the Lord, and we love his people, and follow Jesus Christ because of what God has done for us, and putting that love in our hearts, others will see and desire that too. This is God's order and way, that the truths of God, his everlasting quality, his mercy, would impact our lives. And that through the impact of our lives, others would be drawn to the Lord. And this would all redound to verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, this work of his in building it up, he shall appear in his glory. Christ in you is bringing glory to God. The Lord walking with us and in us is bringing glory to God and is how God manifests his word and his truth to a world that is overwhelmed and in need of him. These are the words to believers. There are words, even as the brother said, that they come first to us who proclaim the word. What would happen if a leader within the house of God neglected the simple things of the word the simple standards of Christian lifestyle, there would be consequences. There were 12 leaders that went with Israel, and they went into the promised land to spy out the land. 10 of them said, "We're toast. We're not going to be able to go in there. We cannot obey the Lord. We cannot believe. We cannot fight under his banner." 2 of them came back with hope and with zeal in their hearts. And they said, no. The people sided with the 10. The leadership failed them. And the Lord said, "Then don't go in. You're not going to possess the land." And then what they do? "Oh, we're gonna fix it up. We're gonna correct it now." And they made it worse. They went in and they were humiliated. There are consequences for not taking the opportunity to cherish and value the simple truth of Jesus Christ and his gentle commands. And you might try to patch it up later. That might be too late. That's in God's hands. So let's follow God's way all the time. We are so blessed. We have so many dear souls who still have not committed their ways to the Lord in faith in Jesus Christ. These next verses are for you. These next verses, let them come back to your minds when you pray about the things that you are overwhelmed with. He says this to you. "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." You are yet to come to faith in Christ. But he answers prayer. May that be also upon the lips of those who are God's children, that God truly does answer prayer, that he walks with us, he talks with us, he calls us his own. He knows everything that we're going through. And when we come to him, he answers and is able to help. David goes on to say, "To you, my friend, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner." He's not looking for the most famous. He's not looking for the ones that are having fun. His eyes are going to the one that feels as if they're caught and they cannot get out. His hands go to those that are appointed to death, those that are on death row, as it were, who do not have much hope or time left. And we know that this is speaking of the Lord's plan of salvation, in God seeing our condition. And he offers his Son to loosen us who are appointed to death. Could you imagine the one who's on death row? He's maybe next in line to go into the executioner's room. Someone comes in to pay the penalty. And instead of them going in, he goes in their place. But my friend, you're still sitting. You're still sitting in the seat, and you're going to be next in line. Unless you embrace and respond in faith and believe and hold him dear and what he has done dear for yourself, you're still going to go into that next room. You need to do something. You need to take a step and respond. Otherwise, you will get the judgment that we all deserve. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, the only name that is given among men whereby we must be saved, has been declared to you as the gospel is preached, as the hope of salvation is expressed. The opportunity is in your hands to get up and to walk off of death row, to be freed and to walk in newness of life as a child of God. There is a song. It says, "Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how he came to love me so, but he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Now I will forever look to Calvary, where on the cross the Savior died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul when he looked beyond my fault and saw my need." This is the name of Jesus that's declared to you. It's the climax of his prayer. And he steps back and realizes that his days, he had been weakened and passed. And his days, it seemed like he didn't want to go on. But then he realizes, "Oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days." When we take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on Jesus Christ, and look to Calvary, where the Savior died for us, we want to live for him. And we have a reason to live. You have a reason to live. And that's what David realized. And then he begins to speak. Notice how his words change. What does he talk about? When God is his everything? "Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." He's not talking about himself anymore. He's trusting God with his cares, with his fears, with his insecurity. And God, who holds all the stars in place, is holding him. He believes it. He knows it beyond a shadow of a doubt. We have a love and a desire for all who come after us to know the faith and to be established in it. And we may ask and question, what do I need to do? What do I need to say that I could have some kind of impact? This last verse gives us a simple but profound answer. It says, "The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Just simply, a servant of the Lord is established and their children. And they continue. This is so consistent with what the Lord says about himself when he gave the Ten Commandments. Just like to read that in conclusion. How will our children be established? Through the law? Through our ideas and teaching? Through rules? In order that they might continue in the faith, they need the mercy of God. The Lord says, I am the Lord, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Isn't that the servant of God? So that our children would be established in the faith, that they would find the mercy of God. May we serve him with all of our hearts and ask him to help in our time of need. Amen.
The psalmist begins this psalm with a prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come unto thee. He is in deep need. But there, when he describes what he feels like here, he says that he is like a pelican in the wilderness. We know pelicans don't belong in the wilderness. He talks about a sparrow alone on the housetop. That's not where a sparrow belongs. He speaks about the owl in the desert. All three birds are out of their environment. Do we feel like we are out of our environment here on this earth, or have we become a part of it? Remember Daniel, when he was taken out of Jerusalem, placed into Babylon. Babylon was going to mold him into what they wanted Daniel to be. He never felt at home in Babylon, though he died there. He never was at home there. Dear ones, are we at home here? Can we even cry the way the psalmist does here? Can we even cry to the Lord in this manner? Or are we comfortable right where we're at? My heart is smitten, withered like a grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groanings, my bones cleave to my skin. And he talks about mine enemies that reproach me all the day. They're mad against me and they are sworn against me. Satan is a sworn enemy against us. He has nothing good for us. Do we bring our petitions to him, the Lord, our Creator, in this manner when we feel the onslaught of the enemy? As we are here in a world that we say, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. But then he goes on and he turns the prayer into a speaking of the truths of God. He says, Thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. He's speaking of the truth, of the hope, the testimony of God is truth. It's hope. Even as the brother prayed, God is a God of peace, a God of reconciliation. This is the prayer of reconciliation. Reconcile me. Help me. And the Lord is one who gives us this hope that we can reconcile with him. And he jumps forward into the age that is to come. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. That's us. What does Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. He came to hear the groaning of the prisoner, the one who is poor in spirit, to loose them, those that are appointed to death. And he goes on and he says who God is. He says, Thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are thy work. We see man looks into space and he just can't get enough. The more he learns, the more he realizes how little he is. And he doesn't even see anything of God's creation that is out there. But as vast as we look into the creation of God, so we must also look into the atoms and the splitting of atoms, the atomic, the nuclear energy, the power that is released, the light and the heat that comes just from the minuscule. That's God is there. He is everywhere. And he says, but that all will perish. Isn't that what Jesus says? The heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. And dear ones, his word, is it precious? The only thing that will endure, is that precious to us? The only thing that will endure is his word. Let's love his word, and let's feel like a pelican in the wilderness. We've all been around water. We know where the pelicans belong. Do we belong here? Do we feel right at home here, dear ones? Because if we do, we can't ever pray this prayer. May God reveal himself to each of us, dear ones, to really see his majesty, his power, and yet he came to die for us, to reconcile us unto our Father. Amen.